And this morning I want to teach on faith. We haven't, for some while, been actually having much teaching about faith, believing. And the Lord knows, because there's seasons for everything. But this morning, for those of you who take a title, it's called From Faith to Faith. From Faith to Faith. And turn with me now, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to base this from verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, from faith to faith. That's what we're going to be discussing this morning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or by his faithfulness. So we're basing this primarily in verse 17. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So, firstly, as we look at this, how we're saved from faith to faith. So we get the idea that faith is a growth. It is a moving forward. So all of us that are in faith, that believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole walk of the Christian walk is a moving forward. It must be. Otherwise, if we are staying still or moving back, which generally is what happens, that is not healthy. There's something wrong. So our faith ever causes us to move forward. And that moving forward is, as we know, is challenged by our trials, by our tests, and our various circumstances. So that every day when you get up in the morning, you have that faith to believe God that you will make it through for that day. That is the faith. That is what God has given to us. He's given us that portion of faith, that faith to believe. And so each day is a day with Christ who has gone before to prepare that way. Therefore, something about that should quicken our faith. If you know that Jesus has gone before, and therefore whatever you face, whatever you go through, doesn't take God by surprise, even though it does you, something about that walk of that day should be quickening our faith. Why? Because it's from faith to faith. It's about salvation. Now, in the context of what we've just looked here in verses 16 and 17, the idea of salvation here implies deliverance and salvation, or preservation. That is what he's actually saying here. He's saying, for the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. So this is implying, this salvation here, that it is a deliverance. It is a preservation. God going before. Now, the redemptive acts in salvation, and I just remind you very quickly, is obviously, as we know, justification, redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation, forgiveness, sanctification, glorification. They're all works that God is actually working in your life. Now, if you're not too sure about these things, get back into the theology book and you can read about these various aspects of how God is working salvation out in you and me each day. But salvation here really comes in three aspects. We are legally saved, that is, that we have been saved from the penalty of sin. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Not one is righteous, the word of God says. The world is in sin. When we believe in Christ, we are legally saved. The penalty of sin has been dealt with at Calvary. And your faith in that means you are legally forgiven. No longer the penalty of sin, the consequences of sin, no longer applies to you anymore. That is our faith. That is what we believe. That is the good news of the gospel. But I said there are three aspects to this. There's also the second aspect of where the Christian is being saved. And that is what is happening. That is what is happening right now, this moment, where you sit in your seat. So the second aspect of salvation is, I am in a walk. I am being saved. I am overcoming. And that is the reality of the walk. So I am legally saved. Therefore, there's no condemnation, as I spoke to the young people. The second aspect is, I am walking now my salvation. I am a pilgrim in this life, passing through. And that's the reality of the Christian walk. And sadly, the being saved aspect is not always brought out in preaching and teaching as it should be. Because that's the reality of the walk. And the third aspect is that the Christian will be saved at the second advent of the Lord, at the Lord's return. So the fulfillment of it will be when Jesus returns and he takes us into glory. So that is the idea of, in those two verses, what we're looking at here with regard to salvation. It is salvation that means God has preserved you. He has restored you. He is making you whole. He is delivering you. He is healing you. So what we're looking at here now, the same as this meeting is here this morning, as we're receiving the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, so that salvation work in your life, my life, is setting about healing and deliverance. That is the promise that God has given. And that is what he's doing. He's doing it right now, where you sit in your seat. And that deliverance, that change, very often is a deliverance and change in the mind, in the thinking, in the attitude. So he works with that by the power of his Spirit, he said. And so as he's bringing us to healing, healing of the body, or deliverance, closing of doors, he's working that through, obviously, the power of his word. He's working that as he's putting that into your heart so that your faith is being quickened, is being released. And this is the aspect of where we're being moved and challenged from faith to faith. Your faith yesterday is no good for faith for today. That was adequate, that served its purpose yesterday. But do not look to yesterday's faith, or last year's faith, or a century back of faith. We have a lot of Christians who still look back. Do you remember 10 years ago? Do you remember that revival? Or you've got churches which still look to the last revival of 50, 60 or 100 years ago. That is not a healthy faith. We meet God each day, now, today. And the faith is there in which to meet him. Because he's gone before. So this is where we get this idea from faith to faith. Now, much of our faith is still dealing with the flesh area and with prayer. That is why we are being saved. And that is why we walk by faith. Because that aspect deals with the flesh. And the flesh will always hinder you from walking in the Spirit, which we were talking about with the young people. And so God says, I'm leaving you still in the world, that you will believe that I have the power to preserve and to keep you, and to help you to overcome the biggest challenge in your life, and that is the flesh. And that is why God presents the cross. Because the cross deals with the flesh. The cross will work where God will bring you to a place where you will only be too pleased to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And the time God has worked his will in you, you are only too pleased, because you then at long last realize that God's plan, God's way, God's will for you is far better. And this very often is our battle that we have. We want to do it our way. And this is why so much in Christendom today you have all these denominations, and these denominations want to worship God on their own terms. What suits them. And so if you look at the Christian spectrum, it's pretty interesting actually how it works. You have churches that cater for white people. You have some churches that cater for Asian, for black people, and so it goes on. Or you then have some churches where it caters for those who like the ritual and the religious. So you can go to that. Then you have some other churches where they like all the hype and to feel, you know, that the worship and all the entertainment and just to feel all the goosey bumps. So you've got churches that are entertaining for that. You've got other churches that are entertaining for the intellectual that really likes to intellectualize the Bible and likes all the credentials and so on. Then you've got other churches that are catering for whatever. I think you've probably got a church that will cater for most things. You've got churches now that are catering for people who... if they've got drugs or drink problem or perverted problems, so you've got churches now that are becoming perverted, catering to those lusts and needs. You've got a church about for anything now. You really have. I assume that we'll probably be getting churches soon for naturists who like to go and in the congregation who will sit there naked. I bet there is a church around somewhere. It wouldn't surprise me. And they'll find some proof. I know what they will find in the Bible. Adam and Eve didn't have any clothes on. That's what we're doing. Naked before God. That's what he wants us. We laugh, but I bet you there is a church somewhere who caters for that as well. And so we've got all these churches, all these denominations. And you know what the problem is? That they have a problem with certain aspects of the Word of God. And God knows that. I've said to you that God knows man can't keep this. God knows that man isn't interested in this unless God touches his life, her life. And so as we begin to open the scriptures and we allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and to guide us and lead us into all truth, we begin to find what God's standard is. And we start to conform toward that. We start to mold toward that. And so we begin to see as God raises up a work like this, that he begins to work it and he's developing it and molding it and working it for his good pleasure. And he knows exactly the people he's going to bring in to his church, you see. And so we then begin to understand what it's about. And it's this idea that our faith, as he works with our faith, so our faith moves from faith to faith to faith. It's this being glorified, this changed aspect. We are being changed. And so that is the wonderful thing about the Christian walk. And you mustn't look on the past. You mustn't look back and say, oh, well, you know, I don't seem to be changing much in this area or whatever it is. Well, maybe God's working there, but you certainly changed in other areas. And you've got a testimony to show it. So what God is doing with each of us, working with those areas of that change, some may have made some progress in that area where maybe you've not made quite so much progress for a while, because we're all different, whereas you've made different steps of progress. That's the body of Christ and how it's made up. But it's still this idea that we're being changed from faith to faith, you see. And so our faith that God gives us is a faith which is changing us, is dealing with the flesh, and it deals also with prayer. And they're the two things I want to start to hone in now. Turn with me now, if you will, to 1 John 5, 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. And he says here, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, he will give him life. For those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray for that. Sorry, I was going on. I should have looked at 14 and I looked at 15. Right, I'm going to look at 14 now on that. And it says, then, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I notice, having said that, that very often we have to take scripture in its context, because in reading verse 16, it then says about if we see a brother or sister committing sin or in need of whatever, then we pray. And so in the context, we get this idea that whatever you ask, you are asking also for your brother, for your sister, for that need. So we need to realize that we need to take these things in context. It's not just, oh, well, I'm going to ask the Lord, you know, he'll give me a new car. I mean, he could do that, don't get me wrong. But let's read what he's actually saying here. So we have this confidence. This confidence is a word that means assurance. I am assured that my Father is going to hear me. That is vital for your prayer life. That is vital for faith to move. From faith to faith. I have that confidence that I am moving from faith to faith because my Father hears me. And he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What is the will of God? We all know that here. It is the Word of God. As we get into the Word of God, so we learn his will. We learn his will. And if we know that he hears us, there's the key. So easy to just bypass that one and move on quick. If we know that he hears us. Now, how does he minister that? How do you know? How do you know that you have prayed and that your Father has heard you? Because John has raised it, he said. He's raised it if we know. So John is giving something. He's revealing, giving something away. Can I suggest to you what he's saying is, quite simply, you can know that your Father has heard you. And there are a number of ways that he lets you know. Firstly, he lets you know by your study of the Word of God. By your hearing of the preaching of the word. That is one way he lets you hear. He lets you know. Obviously, that's one of the main ways. Then there's another way that he's going to let you know. He's going to let you know by that peace in your heart. Again, essential. When you're praying and seeking God, that there is a peace that is present there. And there's another way that he's going to let you know. He might let you know as you're seeking him. You may hear it through the preaching of the word. That word has come out this morning and God spoke to me through that. I've heard him. I've heard him and he's let me know that he's heard what I've said, what I've requested. Or there may just come that inner knowing as you're still before God. And that confirming and reconfirming that my Father has heard me. So it's essential. Remember, I'm reminded of Jesus when raising of Lazarus. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And simply at that, Lazarus rose from the dead. How did he know? Well, I think he knew also by the fact that the people wanted him there. But when he arrived, he was a day late. And they said, you're a bit late now. He's in the tomb. He's stinking. He's rotting. Well, that didn't take Jesus by surprise. They were surprised. They were a bit annoyed. You could have got here earlier. There's the mind, there's the human side coming out, you know. We all do it. Not with Jesus. Father, thank you. You've heard me. They haven't, but you have. Come forth, Lazarus. See? On time. On time. Because he knew how his Father worked. And when you begin to know how your Heavenly Father works, that's all part of that hearing, that knowing. You know the ways of God. You know enough now the ways of God that when you ask God in prayer for something, that very often he's late when it manifests. That is in your time, isn't it? I would probably say that 9 times out of 10, when you have prayed in faith, asking the Lord according to his will, he's late. And I might have known it. But he's not. He's not. Now, what you're revealing there is exactly what I'm saying. And if you know that he hears, you see, you know that he's heard because he's late. That bill should have been paid Friday, and here we are, Monday, and nothing's come through. So, you know. How do you know? Because he's let you know that he's not going to pay that bill when you think he should pay that bill. Because he's God. But he said, I will pay it. That's the point. And so you wait on the Lord. And you rejoice, and you praise, and you thank him. And you're not taken by surprise. I wanted to actually try and get into you that what God's doing with you, and sometimes the delays in manifestation, are not actually taking you by surprise. They may be causing a reaction out of you, but you're not surprised, because you know enough how God works. And God works behind the scenes. And God's working in situations. And he is seeing this, whatever it is that you've asked God for, he's seeing it far bigger and greater than what you're seeing, you see? Because God is also, when he does finally manifest, he's going to glorify his name. So here we get this idea, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. And so when you start to ask God for X amount of money, because those bills need to be paid at the end of the month, you can probably be assured it will come, but it's going to come in his timing and in his way, and how he's going to do it. Because you have heard. It is your experience. Or sometimes with regard to healing, we find very often that we pray for healing. We pray the prayer of faith. But sometimes there's not that instant manifestation, is there? So we know. It doesn't take us by shock, by surprise, because we've heard the word of God. We are becoming familiar with his ways and the ways he works. Now, it doesn't mean to say that God can't instantly heal or instantly manifest that money. God can do anything. But we know enough that God is working with our faith, because it's from faith to faith. It is about being saved. Your steps of faith, your asking God, your testimonies and everything are all part of the being saved process. It's from faith to faith. We see also in Hebrews 11, where God deals with this, and he's dealing with our prayer life. He's dealing with the flesh, removing hindrances, in other words, to our faith, which often we hear in this assembly. Hebrews 11, 39-40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So we know that many of our brothers and sisters, the fathers of the church, obtained a good testimony through faith, but didn't receive the promise. Of course, the promise is Messiah. He was seen afar off. But they had a good testimony of their faith. What was happening? Because God was working them from faith to faith. Even though they saw Christ afar off, there's still that aspect from faith to faith. Faith from the church, faith from those that believe, was going to bring Messiah. We tend to forget that their faith brought Jesus at the right time. God had purposed it from the foundation of the world, but under the old covenant, they were still believing for their Messiah. What is that believing? Faith. They had faith that Jesus would one day come. Now the church has a faith to believe that Christ is going to come soon. Again, it's faith that brings him back. So we get this idea from faith to faith. So they were the witnesses under Old Testament. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. And it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So they saw it all afar off. This is why faith has its own vision. Faith sees. And if a church is not walking by faith, it doesn't have a vision. And without a vision, my people perish. And of course, the goal is Christ's return, ultimately. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Why? Because you know your Father has heard you. So that waiting to receive the promise doesn't take us by surprise in this church. We still don't like it in our flesh at times, but it doesn't take us by surprise. I mean, there's none of you when I say, "Well, God's going to manifest it in that right time," you know. Wow, what a revelation. God's going to manifest it in that right time. No, you don't. You're saying in your heart, "I hope it's soon. I hope it's soon," you see. Why? Because you know the will of God, what he's saying, what I've just read to you, you see. That's why it's vital that we hear. And when that hearing, we have to watch also our attitudes and our motives. And so in that hearing, it's imperative that we mix faith. Hebrews 4 verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who also believe do enter that rest, as he has said." So Israel failed in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, because they never mixed faith with that which they heard. And that was their problem. In other words, they didn't want to hear what the Father was saying. Now, for you to have faith, you need to hear what the Father's saying. God saved you for a relationship. God has saved you to speak and to communicate with you. That's what being a Christian is about. And there's nothing better than when you hear from God. When you know what God is saying to you. This is vital. Otherwise you don't grow. Your faith doesn't grow. Your faith doesn't move on from faith to faith. And Satan knows exactly where to attack. This is why a lot of our brothers and sisters are not growing, maturing in the faith. They still want to be babied. But babies don't hear the same as adults do. Your children don't hear the same as you hear. Their hearing process is different. Yes, it's a lot simpler, because Jesus did show the faith of a child. That's what the kingdom of God is. But they hear differently to how you hear. Because God wants us to mature and to grow up, you see, to hear what the Father is saying, because this quickens our faith. So, with that hearing, and also I'll give you another one in Hebrews 10, verse 17, he says here, no, I've got that wrong, sorry, it's the wrong verse. Romans 10. Oh yes, that's right. Thank you very much. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that's how God does this. Our faith matures and it grows. And all the while we're being changed from faith to faith, or from faith to faith, God's grace is sufficient. God will meet with you for that day, and he will get you through. Whatever the trial, whatever the pain, whatever the cost, whatever the whatever, he will get you through. It's from faith to faith. Now we need to anchor in that. It's an anchoring to the soul. It's going to stop this torment. It's going to stop the devil trying to put these questions and doubts into your mind and so on, like he tries to do. And God in this is also going to look as to how we hear and with what attitude and with what motive. I've already said to you that Israel didn't mix faith with that which they heard. Why was it they were not able to do it? I'm going to suggest to you that Israel, and we can see it in Scripture, their motives and their attitudes very often were wrong. Attitude? Well, we can't go wrong. We're of the Abrahamic seed. We're of the covenant. So, you know, let's take it easy, chaps. We can't go wrong. We belong to the Lord. So, we'll make it in. And they didn't make it in. They had a wrong attitude. Their motives, very often, in repentance, was that they might have their creature comforts. That they might have their bellies filled again. That they could live in peace and all the usual things. So their motives were wrong. And of course, when they repented after being chastening, it never lasted. It only lasted for a season, and then there again, coming back the same old thing. Because the motives, the attitudes were wrong. And if that goes on in your life, in your heart, you cannot mix faith. And the reason you cannot mix faith, because you are not really hearing the word of God. Your hearing is corrupted. Your hearing is marred. There is oppression there. The enemy has you there. And so that word is not really feeding you and teaching you as it should. That is why God is exposing our attitudes, our motives in this assembly. I've been listening to what the Spirit's saying and what he's been doing with me, and I've been hearing over the last month or two, he's honing in on motives and attitudes, and they have to be right. They have to be pure in his sight, because it's part of you hearing and mixing that faith. It is that being moved from faith to faith. And so, what is my motive in coming, say, to church today? Is my motive so that I appear good? You know? Is my motive here, I've come here today because I've got a need and I want it met in Jesus' name? Or is my motive here, first and foremost, I've come to worship my Saviour who has had mercy on me? See? What is the motive? And it's the same with each other. Are our motives to use each other, to get what we can from one another? That is wrong. That is wrong. Even those that follow Jesus knew how to challenge them, because he was aware they were coming with the wrong motives. They wanted their bellies filled. And yes, he did. He saw a need. because he knew that they'd come a long way, and so he fed them with the fishes and the loaves, because he didn't want them ill or fainting on the way. But Jesus didn't do it too often, because he knew they would come for the wrong motive, the wrong reason. And he knew he could not let that fester, because if you let that fester, they will never be able to hear by faith. The motives are completely wrong. See? That's why you often hear me say when we come to worship God that we come with clean hands and a pure heart. Otherwise, God is not going to accept our gathering this day. We might as well just have stayed at home. You see? It's very important how we come with the right attitude and the right motive before God. You see, the scribes, Pharisees, absolutely reveal that. You see, religious people have wrong motives, wrong attitudes. And that's why God pronounced the woes of judgment on them. You've got it all wrong. That's what he was saying. And therefore, they couldn't hear. They could never really hear the word of God. They certainly couldn't discern that he was their Messiah. And so it goes on. And so as God works with us, he works with our faith, and he works that cross, he's going to have us blameless in his sight. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Of course he can. You may have come out of an environment where you lived in a life of where there was nothing but manipulation, control, wrong motives, everyone in the family using one another, getting what they could out of one another. God says, right, I'm going to change all that. That's not the family I'm bringing you into. You see? But we carry it over with us. And we wonder why things are not happening. We wonder why we don't break through. And it can be anything. But I'm dealing with these areas because we're dealing about faith. We're dealing about how we hear. And that we move from faith to faith. So, if we did but know it today, as God is dealing with these things, as these things are coming out, so our faith today is moving us for faith for tomorrow if he tarries. It's from faith to faith. So we need that word. We need the meetings. You need to read the word of God to take you from faith to faith. To be changed. You see? It's essential. You see, the humble before God, those that are bowing the knees, as I bring this now to a conclusion, the humble before God won't pretend with faith. And that's why God humbles us and keeps us humble. They are not going to pretend with faith. Well, I've got the faith for today, and the Lord knows. No, the humble will be honest with their faith. They will be real before God with their faith. They sometimes will admit, Lord, I didn't have that faith. And I should have. But I didn't. And you knew that. And so they will be honest about it. And they will remain before God until change comes. One of the things I have found, if there's unbelief and you confess it and you're honest before God, I have found that God never leaves you in that state of unbelief. But he begins to work. He's actually wooed you to a place to do that. Because he's watching over that faith. That faith is precious in his sight. That faith is holy. He has given you a gift from him, that faith to believe. So he's going to watch over that even more than you are. And so that is why he humbles us. Why? Because we know in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. That's why he watches over it. That's why he's so attentive. This is why he keeps us still under the faith aspect of the teaching of the deeper life. Doesn't let us go very long, if you notice, until he brings us back to faith again, believing, staying with it, holding on. So by staying and preaching, faith is a sign of being diligent before God. And that is what it is. That is what it is. It is, as we go back to Romans 1, as we look at this, he says, back in Romans 1, verses 16-17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. His faithfulness. So God is faithful over the faith teaching. And how do we know of that faithfulness? By the fact he keeps us with it. He doesn't let us become lazy, procrastinate. He keeps us on our toes all the time. Are you believing? Are you in faith for today? Are you holding on? Well, of course, all those things will be seen, won't they? Our endurance, staying with it, coming, confessing, believing in our trials. You know the lot. You know the lot. And you're going to start to find that rest that faith gives us. How do you enter into that rest? Well, you enter in obviously by faith, but that entering into that rest of faith is also a deliverance that God is working. And I think the major one is, of course, fear. Fear of what if? Fear of the consequences. Fear God is too late, or I am too late, or whatever it is. We're getting delivered from it. May I suggest that sometimes God's delays with faith are precisely to deliver you from that anxiety, that fear, so that you can enter that rest. That's probably one of the reasons why, to you, he appears to be late. That's the very purpose and reason. I hadn't really thought of it quite like that before, but I think the Lord's brought that out this morning. So you see, he loves us far more than we even can imagine. God has said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We are entering very serious times now, economically, globally. This isn't just a crisis in England. This is a global situation. We are seeing mass redundancies throughout the world. It's not just England. People are becoming worried. Men are becoming worried. Will I have my job this time next year? And so on. And so it goes on. Where do we, in the house of faith, stand with regard to all of that? Well, we stand by faith. Whatever happens, God will not forsake me. God will still clothe me. He will still feed me. In fact, God will bring us to a place where we don't take consideration anymore for those things. God has it all under control. He has your family under control. He has your children under control. He has the law. God wants us to move on now and stop being so consumed in all our prayer time. Can we pray for this? Can we pray for my son? Can we, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray one for another, but let's become more kingdom-minded. There's far greater things God wants us now to concentrate on with our prayers and intercessions. We've got to move on. It's this process from faith to faith, you see. God has got it under control. I think sometimes this praying about situations over and over again is the fact that we're having a problem with God. He's not answering my prayer when I want him to. That's probably sometimes what's actually really coming out. And God isn't going to bless or answer that. It's the same for all of us. We're all in the boat together. We're all at times thinking, oh Lord, surely you should have delivered me now before now. Surely after all these years, where is the healing now? We're all in the boat together, in one way or another. In one way or another. So has God got it wrong? Has he made a mistake? No. He's using all of that from faith to faith to get us to start growing up and to grasp and see greater things with God. We're now beginning to see breakthroughs with this church. We've now got a ministry going out again to India in January. We're seeing breakthroughs now on Paltor. We're seeing people now in America and other places waiting for those meetings Tuesday night and so forth. We're on the breakthrough now of moving to next things. Is the church going to start to go? Because are we ready for change in this church? Or do we still want our babyish ways? Or are we now ready to move to the next things? That's the question. Because faith moves from faith to faith to faith to faith. What happened yesterday What you were doing a month ago is past, gone. I want to hear and know and be and move with God what He's saying and doing today, now. And that to me is a healthy church, a healthy Christian, one moving with God. Amen.